Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I just share a couple of things, a couple of thoughts. I don't want them to end or be conclusive, because that's not the point. The point is that it would stir something within us, that we would walk out and allow the Holy Spirit to make it conclusive with us as an individual. So rather than a nice, neat package of a sermon, I'm going to let you and the Holy Spirit make it a nice, neat package, however you work that out between you and Him. Okay? I just want to stir and maybe start the direction. All right? Just say, yeah, that's okay. I'm just looking for one person to say it's okay. Thanks. Sometimes it's difficult for us to want to take assessment of where we are in our walk with the Lord Jesus. We would probably all agree, who are believers, that we need to do that. But sometimes our faith undergoes a process, as many things in our life begin to go on a process, that we have intent and we have a measure of conviction about it, that we take it serious, but through all the demands of life, though we hold it mentally as important, it just kind of floats in its direction. And we know it's there, we sense it's there, but we don't always like to take assessment of it, because sometimes we don't want to simply take the time, or I don't have time now, and at just a quick glance, I'm okay. We just say we're okay. Sometimes we don't want to take the assessment because the reality is we know that I know it's there, I'd like to ignore it, and I know things are out of order. I know they're not right. You can look at this at any area of life, maybe a little physical representation is, I don't want to open that closet because I know it's not organized. And so if I keep the door closed and walk by it, at least it's contained, I know it's there, but I don't have to deal with it. Maybe for you it's not a closet. Maybe your closet is a garage. It's important. Important stuff is out there. You know, it'd be a lot easier if it was neat and organized and if it was this and that and blah, 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 blah. And you want to do it, but not now. And we sometimes, in our spiritual life, we know it's part of our life, we know it's there, and we go to church, but we are not on the track of spiritual growth, but rather simply a maintenance program by default. Our intention was to grow. And because of other things in life or the lack of our discipline or however you want to chalk it up, whatever is an excuse, let it be an excuse. Whatever you feel is a justifiable reason, let it be a justifiable reason. You can determine that. And it just becomes this default printer. It just, whatever comes up, it goes that way. And that's where it goes. And it just begins to operate without this emphasis of growth. I mean, we would all like to say, who are believers in this room, that we are on a track of growing. We have, if the Holy Spirit was to chart us, we would be on this growth pattern. But the reality is, for most and for many, is that we are not on a growth pattern. And I'm not talking about the multiplicity of numbers and growing in converts. I'm talking now about our personal walk with the Lord. Some who struggle with assessment, though they know it's right and true, sometimes is for those who have been walking with the Lord for a long time. You've seen a lot of water go under the bridge in your walk with the Lord. You know it doesn't make you a pro. It just means that you have seen a lot of water go under the bridge through your walk with the Lord because of time. You have believed in Him for a long time. But we cannot be fooled into, because I've walked with the Lord a long time, that automatically equals growth. Longevity doesn't guarantee growth. And I want you to think about this. I'll tell you, I have been thinking about it even for me personally. And when I say even, I use that term, even, not as if I am above you. Please, don't misunderstand that. When I say even, this is not just a chat for you in the pew and those of us who stand up front. Well, you know, we don't have to think about it. I'm including myself in this. Am I growing? Or am I just being a long-term person who believes in Christ? How do I know if I'm growing? What do I need to do to grow? All of us who are believers, and believers who maybe have a home church, whether it's this one or you're visiting and you have a home church, we want everyone in our home church to believe we're growing. Right? We'd like them to believe it. So, you know, we're concerned with the impression a person might get from our life. So when I go to church, I have to do things that appear that I'm growing, or I am enthusiastic, or I am passionate, or I am whatever, whatever, whatever. But the reality is there, am I growing? It's not just about believing in Christ and now I have this salvation experience because the sins are forgiven. I applied God's grace to my life through faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that He's the Son of God. And now I'm in. I am so in. I mean, I am in the group. I'm in the family. But what about growth? There is a person who, because of geography, I have not kept up my relationship with him. But he was a friend of mine from my hometown. And we began to know each other as we were older teens. And then as young adults, he made his way to school with a couple of us from that home, from our hometown. And then went back home after university. Or I don't think he graduated from there, but he... And Every once in a while you have a conversation with somebody in common, and it's not nosiness, it's not a gossip thing, and I'm being honest with you. It's, you know, hey, have you talked to so-and-so, or I know you listen, do you ever see so-and-so, or do you see this person? You just do a little bit of catch-up. You just catch news through other people, because if you're like me, you don't want Facebook. Facebook's great. I'll just tell you how I look at Facebook for me personally. Love people, but I will never maintain 500 friends on Facebook. I just won't. In fact, this last week I activated a Facebook. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's a computer thing. Forgive me because I don't know a lot about it. It's where you sign up, and then people can see that you are on Facebook, and they want to know it's you, and it might be somebody, long lost friend, or somebody across town, or I don't know, somebody in the same house. Why don't you just get up and go to their room and talk to them? You know, I don't want to do that or can do that, because I'm also Facebooking with a bunch of other people at the same time, or whatever, however that works. I don't know. But you can do this, and I think it's a neat idea. I think it's great. But I started one this last week, and I deactivated it within 5 minutes. Not because I had this inundation. It's that I discovered that when my wife says, oh, good, you can invite me as one of your friends. And what shied me away from it is that if I become her friend on Facebook, all of her 300-plus friends on her Facebook account will see that I am on there. Which means all those people can now say, hey, invite me as your friend. You think I'm going to maintain that? John, I ain't doing it. One day I might get Facebook, but right now in my life, yeah, I don't need any more. So the old-fashioned way is I was on the phone. Talking. Now, the phone didn't have a cord going into the wall, so, you know, I'm a little current. And hey, do you ever talk to, yeah, you know, and doing this and they're doing that. And he asked a question, you know, are they doing okay or are they, no, he's still acting like he's 18. And it's not to pass judgment on this guy, but the question zings home. How long have I been walking with the Lord, and am I still acting like, or am I growing? You see, the gospel and the gospel message, Jesus pours out to all. The seed of God's word falls out. The promise in the gospel, man, as far as God is concerned, what I can gather from Scripture is His will is that none would perish. And so you know what? Here's the gospel message. And the seed just, of His word just goes out. You'll see it in a parable that Jesus tells about the farmer. He was going out to plant. And some of the seed, it fell along the pathway. And it talks about what happens to that seed, representing God's word or the gospel going out to people. The seed that fell on the path, you know, the birds of the air came and snatched it out. The parallel is that the devil comes and takes the word of God away and robs people. Another place that the seed fell was on rocky crags. Didn't have a lot of soil, but something sprouted up. But because it couldn't go deep, you know, the heat, the sun dried it up. And another place the seed fell was in the thorns. And they sprouted up and they began to grow, but the thorns wrapped themselves around it and the roots and around it, and it just could not grow and could not prosper. He talks about the thorns representing all the anxieties and concerns and worries of life. We allow that to choke it out. And then he talks about the seed being planted in the good soil, and it grew and it produced fruit, you know, 100-fold. And God was not opposed to the seed being spread everywhere. Jesus understood that people are going to receive and look at the seed differently. That not all people, though they all have a need, they don't all approach it the same. You look in the business world, they pick their market of consumers. Though everyone is a consumer, they pick their market, they pick their mark in the market, you know, and they're not looking to just get everybody to buy it. God's different. He's not looking for anybody to buy it because this is salvation is free. Everybody is his mark. All would come. We need to understand that. But am I one who is growing? I believe, but am I growing? See, the gospel's for everybody. Am I just an everybody? Or am I included in the everybody because the message is for everyone? And it's not that I'm special or you're special above anyone else. It is that will I become a person that he will not allow me just to hear the gospel, but he will entrust me with the gospel to invest, not just those who maybe tried to grow on the path of the rocky crag or the thorn. We're still going to spread the seed there to give everybody an opportunity. But am I going to be the kind of person that's reliable to take the word of God and be a growing person, be reliable with the message that I can entrust it to those we can build the kingdom on? And the question is, am I the kind of person that the kingdom of God can be built upon? Not because my title is pastor, but just as Randy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. You can put it up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says this. Paul is writing Timothy. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. In other words, Timothy, you've heard me declare the gospel. You've heard me declare God's doctrine. You've heard me declare the pure gospel of grace, not works. You've heard me argue against false teachers. You've heard me preach the gospel and defend the gospel with my life, even going to prison or being in chains. You've heard me preach the gospel and defend it to those who were trying to blend the gospel with some other philosophy so that it would stay pure. All these things you've heard me say in the presence of people. Now you, Timothy, entrust this. Entrust these things to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach or instruct or have influence upon others. And I have to ask me the question, am I reliable to be able to entrust? See, it's not just about being saved alone, though that secures this, you know, ongoing walk with the Lord. But am I a growing person, a developing person, a person through difficulty, through circumstance, through situation, through persecution, through misrepresentation, all the different things? Have you come and walked through all of that so that you have proven yourself with God's mercy, grace, and the help of the Holy Spirit to be reliable so that you could be entrusted with the message of the gospel to be the kind of person who will instruct, teach, or have influence on others with it? Or are you just lost in the mass of saved people? Who have a minimal measure of influence. Because we've not been reliable. And because we've not been reliable, we've not been entrusted. Paul says, Timothy, you've heard all this. Now you better be reliable so that you can take that which was given to you and you can entrust it into other people. Pour out the seed to the masses, but make sure that those who are reliable, you entrust them with this. Jesus did it. He poured out the gospel on the hillside and in the towns and the villages, you know, everywhere he went. But he entrusted it to 11 successful men. Are we reliable? Are we growing? Or are we just a mass attender, a nominal attender? Maybe you're here every week, and that's good and that's great. But being here every week does not mean that I'm a grower. It's supposed to help us. But am I a grower? Am I doing things outside of this room? Am I doing things outside of my membership? Am I doing things in my own personal walk? And when I say do things, I don't mean just kind acts. Am I doing things to put forth the initial intent that I would be a growing person? A person that would allow myself to show up in time and experience by the help of the Holy Spirit to be reliable, that I can take this gospel that I believe in and that I am saved by. Am I able now to become reliable that this would be entrusted to me to pass on to someone else who is reliable? Spread the seed everywhere, but take that and invest it. Entrust it to someone reliable, because they then will carry and entrust, spread the seed to everyone, but entrust it to those they see that are reliable. Let me put it on a human level, and I know that we are not God because, you know, we're not perfect. But if you and what is valuable to you will only entrust that to reliable people in your life, how much more then would our Father in heaven say that about that, which is the eternity of men's souls, which he came to redeem? How much more then? What is your realm of influence, and is it based upon how reliable we are? Are we growing? Or are we just maintaining? Are we just kind of staying saved and hanging around with the saved? Or are we growing? What are we doing to grow? What am I doing to grow? What are you doing in your life to cause spiritual development and growth? Growth in and of itself means change. You can't grow without changing. They're synonymous. They go together. They're not synonymous. They go hand in hand. Growth means change. Change doesn't necessarily mean growth, so they're not synonymous. Correct myself. This is being recorded, right? No? Yeah? You're fixing it? I don't know what that means, but whatever. Is it enough to be counted amongst the saved and not be reliable? I wish reliability and Christianity were synonymous. Sometimes we don't want to take assessment because we just like to stay where we are. Safe, secure, and kind of in the middle of the pack somewhere. The problem with that is we start to lose our focus on Christ, and we start to focus on how am I doing with the people, you know, in comparison to the people around me. The Bible warns against that. It says in their own eyes, or judging themselves by themselves. They're doing okay. You can be in ministry and not grow. But you can't grow and not be ministering. I need to make this conclusive between me and the Lord. You need to do the same. What do I need to change so that I will start growing? I mean, is your goal just to live your life, live here in Sparta area or wherever, and just keep coming back to this church and sitting here on Sunday for the rest of your life so that you can have your funeral in here? Is that it? Is that God's plan? I don't want you to misunderstand this. This is not a condemnation thing. This is about freeing ourselves up through realizing the things we need to free ourselves from so that we can start growing. That's the chat. Am I reliable that I can be entrusted and entrust that which is important enough that I hear so that I can be safe? I want to pause because as you take the assessment, am I reliable enough? Don't start reading your credentials, your resume to the Lord. Well, I'm involved in this and I do that. That doesn't mean you're growing. Don't read your resume to God. That does not mean you're growing. It simply might mean that you are in a rut and you don't know it. Dude, that was sweet right there. That was good. That was good, Pastor. Bring that one home again. Okay. I'll do that. You might just be in a Christian rut, but you're not growing. And it's busy. Your footprints are all over it. And you're doing lots of stuff, but you're not growing. And if we're not growing, then we're really not reliable. And if we're not reliable, though we know the message, we have not been entrusted with it to the point we can entrust it and recognize others who are reliable. It's just the Christian crowd we're running with. Saved. Going to heaven. Good thing. Great thing. But they've been trusted with the seed. Are they reliable to spread it everywhere? Let's stand up together. Would you say the question out loud for me? Am I reliable? If Timothy were in this room, would you be a candidate that he would entrust the gospel to? He would preach to all of us. Timothy would be here and he would preach to all of us. But would he entrust you, me, with the things he heard Paul say and do? Would he entrust us with it? We could hear it. We could hear the preaching, but would he entrust it to us a whole nother level, a whole nother dimension, because he found us reliable to then have influence and teach others and entrust it to others ourselves? See, there's a difference. There's a difference. The natural eye might cast themselves upon the people who are busy in the church, but it doesn't mean that they're growing and reliable. It just means they're busy. Maybe. Busyness and reliability are not synonymous. At the same token, a reliable person is active, growing. Busyness does not equate reliability, but reliability will show itself in growth and in action and all these things. You see, it's a heart issue, because man looks on the outside. God looks where? Busyness can look like reliability on the outward, but it doesn't mean it's so on the inside. That's why I say, when you go through this assessment, are you growing? Don't read your resume to God. Thus ends the chat for today. You are responsible for the conclusion of the chat between you and God. I just wanted to stir it. I wanted to start you down a venue, an avenue of thought. Am I growing? Am I reliable? And if I am, I need to look for reliable, spread the gospel everywhere, but I need to look for reliable people to entrust the gospel to. So you recognize its importance. If Jesus would not have entrusted the gospel to the 11, you and I might not know how to be saved. And those of you who are believers, you do not want to be unsaved. It means everything to you. We want those who've not heard to feel the same.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.